The church reverberates with the resurrection power of Christ himself, Ephesians 1:19 through 20. It personifies his love, Ephesians 5:2. It manifests his fullness, Colossians 2:9 through 10. It is a new man measuring up to the full stature of Christ himself, Ephesians 4:13. And yet the church is also distinguished from Christ. It is his bride, Ephesians 5:25 through 27. It is the one he nurtures and cherishes as his own flesh, Ephesians 5:29. It is the repository of the Father's wisdom, Ephesians 3:10. It is where God receives all glory, Ephesians 3:21. It is a beacon of divine light, a foretaste of heavenly glory, Ephesians 1:18. God's people as a family. Perhaps the best way to envisage the church, accounting for both its organic link to Christ and its distinctiveness from Christ, is as a family related by blood. Members of the church are blood relatives. They share the same Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth receives its name, Ephesians 3:14. They share the same elder brother, Christ, Hebrews 2:17, whose blood shed on the cross has reconciled them to the Heavenly Father, Colossians 1:20. And they share a fraternity with their spiritual siblings, brothers and sisters in Christ, Colossians 1:2, who are reconciled to each other by the same blood of the cross, Ephesians 2:13. It is especially as a family that the church forms the centerpiece of God's work in creation. This should not be surprising, because God has always worked through families. Right from the beginning, he formulated his agenda in terms of a family. It will be enormously helpful as we seek to understand the unique and powerful role of the church to venture back into primordial history and look at the very first family, the family of Adam and Eve, and to notice how their union serves as a picture of what would later become the Church of Jesus Christ. The inaugural family. The drama of the sixth day of creation never ceases to amaze us. It was then that God fashioned his magnum opus, a human being, and bequeathed to him a magnificent garden paradise. The new creature apparently lacked for nothing. He was the beneficiary of a priceless bounty from the hand of a loving creator. Yet surprisingly, there was a deficiency. Something was not good. The solitary man lacked a helper, someone who corresponded to him, Genesis 2:18. By himself, he was but one piece of a two-piece puzzle, and the adjoining piece was nowhere in sight.